Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, Tim Kelly, West Coast enters the frame, some list changes at Fremantle, and our bit of early discussion on the finals. I give my four tips. Duff's still undecided on three.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is. The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Hello, everybody. The home and away season is done. We've had the bye, whether you like it or not. And we're 2 days away from the first final of the 2019 season. This is the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Glenn Quatermain just champing at the bit. He's had his mad Monday. He's had his week of solace after the Hawks didn't quite get there.
It was a mild Monday, Duff.
He's ready to fire on all cylinders today as we preview the first round of finals.
Did you hear that sound on Saturday? That distant hum that became louder and louder and louder.
Was that the Melbourne people coming back from the snowfields?
No, they're still up there. No, they're staying there for the duration of September, Duff. Don't be silly. No, it was the collective sound of a million lawnmowers across Perth, across Australia, in fact, just tidying up the lawns, getting whatever they can done around the house because there was nothing else to do, Duff.
So, pro-buy, anti-buy?
No, I'm anti-buy at that point of the season. My argument is for it to be a two-week build-up to the grand final.
You are too.
Yeah, yes. Rehash the final system so you don't have one. You don't have a team playing once in a month. So that's got to be worked out. But I think I like the straight into the footy. And if you're on the fringe of the eight, if you just peek into the eight and you've got some injuries, tough. I think that I like the idea of the two grand final teams being a bit more rested for grand final day. And you have the first week of the grand final build up. You can have your Brownlow medal, so you can get your interstate teams there, et cetera, et cetera. It solves a lot of problem stuff.
All right, I'm pro-buy. Get all the teams ready. Have the best final series you can possibly have. I don't see the problem. You know who I reckon mainly whinges about at Quarters?
Who's that?
We do.
Yeah, but you know what?
The media.
I have my opinion on it, Duff, but I can assure you I did not lose any sleep over it. I can assure you that. Although it was a really quiet weekend. It was really quiet.
Did you get a bit of DIY done?
Oh, I did a little bit, yeah. Yeah, just a little bit in preparation. It's going to be a busy 4 weeks ahead.
I did a bit of DAN.
What's that?
Did absolutely nothing.
Very nice.
Much to my wife's chagrin, because she knows she's not getting much value for money out of me over the next 4 weeks.
That's right. Well, no, it's time to put the foot down now, and it's exciting. And, of course, with the first week of actual finals comes the silly season in a way. All sorts of rumours out there, starting with, well, let's just put it this way, JK is okay.
JK is okay. He hasn't broken his leg.
There was rumours around that he'd broken his leg, that he was having he'd done an ACL.
He's not on the show today because we don't have wheelchair access.
That's right, exactly.
That's not the reason he's not here.
So Eagle supporters, rest assured, he is playing. If I'm a betting man, I'm saying Nick Nat plays, but I'm not convinced that Hearn does. Hamstrings are curious things, Duff.
I don't see why you would risk Shannon Hearn in the first week of a four-week final campaign, 2 weeks after he wasn't able to get through a game with an injury. Now, there is some conjecture as to whether this is hamstring or hip. Now, if it's hip, if he's got some sort of weird hip pointer issue, it may be that he's fixed quicker. But if this is a hamstring, Shannon Hearn doesn't play on Thursday.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's interesting. It's sudden death for both teams, Duff. But you'd more err on the side of caution. I'm sorry, you'd more err on the side of risk with Michael Hurley. See, he has to play, but the thing about Hurley is you can rest. He will be tested early. That shoulder will be tested early.
There'll be an early test for Hurley.
Oh, yeah, there will be. And as there should be. If he's out in the field, that's
absolutely
the game. It's a tough game.
Yep.
But did not look good when he went down. I mean, if he plays, great effort, but you can expect yourself to be, and the way he plays too, you can expect yourself to be in a very heavy pack early on.
Not wanting to use too many medical terms and go beyond my medical knowledge, but I reckon the key with Hurley is whether it was subluxed or a partial dislocation.
Yeah, I think it was subluxed.
Subluxed is okay.
Yeah.
Partial dislocation, he probably shouldn't be
playing. He was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
A lot of pain. So, look, let's hope that, you know, ideally we want him all playing. We want him all fit. Let's hope he does play, but I'm just not sure. Question mark for me.
Quarters, four finals. So I'm going to ask you two questions about those four finals.
Yep.
The first thing is, how many have you decided on your tip on
yet? All of them. All of them. I've got mine. I've done mine for the whole final series stuff.
You're ready to go?
I've done the whole final series.
Okay, go on, run them off for this week.
Just for this week. I've got
just winners. No, so, no explanations.
Okay, Geelong, West Coast, GWS.
Ooh,
do you like that dramatic pause?
I like that.
And Brisbane.
Brisbane.
This week they win.
I'm decided on one.
Oh, okay.
I'm still making up my mind on three. The one is West Coast. I think West Coast will have enough to get it done. They're not sure things, but I'm comfortable with West Coast being the right team to tip. I'm still making up my mind on the other three.
Yeah, I think Brisbane gets Richmond here, and by my calculations, that Brisbane plays Richmond in the grand final at the MCG. And Richmond wins. That's just by my early calculations. I'm pretty bullish on Geelong. Now, I'm not. I think Collingwood's a great side. Yes, they're playing fourths, playing first, and hosting. Yes, I know all of that. Running into some good form, lots of options. I just think that we're discounting Geelong a bit here. They've been up and down since the bye, but this is the time of year. I mean, if they're ever going to win a flag now, it's with this group. It's now, Duff. They don't win this year. I don't reckon they can with this group. So I'm just. I think Geelong's going to go a long way. I've got them out preliminary final week by Richmond. I've got Richmond beating them. But I'm pretty bullish on Geelong on Friday night.
Okay, second question.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the game of the four that has the most profound impact on the outcome of the final series?
I reckon GWS Bulldogs. And I say that because I don't think GWS can go too deep, but I think the Dogs can. So I think if Giants get this, they're going to do a lot of size of favour.
I'm going to say Richmond-Brisbane is the one that has the profound impact on the. I think if Richmond wins, they are definitely flag favourites. And I think if Brisbane wins, Brisbane can win the flag.
Yes, of course. Of course they can.
So
they get two home finals. They'll get there at least.
Yeah.
I expect them to get there the easy way. But, yeah, I'm just not sure on the day if they can do it. We'll see, won't we? But GWS Bulldogs, this really intrigues me, this game. On form, you'd pick the Dogs. I just think the bye or the week off has come at a really good time for the Giants, who were horrible at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Apart from their last, obviously, their training run. And the Dogs had all the momentum. I hope it doesn't halt them, but I'll be interested to see what happens. Look, you look at it on face value. You look at the Bulldogs with their forward line now going ticking along nicely. They've got that run from defence. They've got that deep midfield. But then you look at the Giants, and if they get it on their terms, so if they create lots of stoppages, get the game on their terms, that's a pretty good forward line. And I worry about the Bulldogs' defence if that happens. So in my head, I'm mounting a case for GWS over the last few days. And, I'm going to do what I haven't done all year, Duff, really, and I'm going to have a bit of a go at it and pick the Giants, because most people pick the Dogs.
Yeah, I'm undecided on this one. There's a part of me that thinks the way you're thinking, and there's a part of me that's thinking form is form.
It is.
And the Dogs are the team.
I'm just not sure the buyers come at a good time for the Dogs.
Yeah. All right. Now, hang on. Nick Nat, definitely.
I would. If he's right, play him. I think they have to roll the dice on that one. And the real hard one is going to be, who do they drop? So you can't go in with Allen and Waterman if that happens, because you've got to play Hickey. So I think you'd have to drop Waterman, which is really, how many, 11 marks in the last game?
20 disposals.
Yeah, geez, it's tough. I mean, that is a tough job for the selectors this week.
I think 13 goals in the last seven games for Jake Waterman.
Yeah, he's done nothing wrong. I'm sorry, Jake, but that's just the way I'd put it. I'm a Jake Waterman fan, but I'm a huge Oscar Allen fan.
I'll tell you who'll be hoping Jake Waterman plays, Claremont.
Yeah.
Jake Waterman runs around in the waffle. The Eagles go 1 week deeper.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Because he's been absolutely outstanding in the waffle this year. All right. Now, big news out of Melbourne today. Well, big rumour out of Melbourne today.
Tim Kelly.
Tim Kelly will request a trade. Well, actually, is it news?
And has not. Well, it's not news. Well, I think it is if his manager's saying he's going to retreat. I find that really curious timing.
It's a reprint.
Yeah, yeah. It's a reprint. I find it curious timing right now before a final. I really do. But and the talk is that he has nominated West Coast. So I know your thoughts, Duff. You think that if West Coast want him, West Coast will get him?
I think West Coast will find a way.
Yep.
Look, that doesn't always mean it's a good thing. You know, if you look at West Coast midfield and how it stacks up with and without Tim Kelly and what the ramifications are for the players in and around the team with Tim Kelly either at the club or not at the club, they get a bit jammed up through the middle. And, you know, Tim Kelly, what does he add? Well, he's an elite stoppage player. He's a very clever player in terms of getting into position to receive the ball around the ground. What do they do with Dom Sheed if Tim Kelly plays? What do they do with Jack Redden? If Tim Kelly plays, Jack Redden was second in their best and fairest last year. So, you know, do the riches make their midfield deeper and make them a better team, or do they make them struggle to find uses for people? And it can go either way on these things. If you look at Collingwood, we looked at Collingwood at the start of the season and we said, wow, that midfield runs so deep that no one can touch them. And then at the end of the day, they struggled to get it working the way they wanted it to work. And I think in the end quarters, what we decided was that the critical missing link in their midfield was Taylor Adams, because he bought something the others didn't bring, which was real grunt. And even Rupert Wills, who's like a bang and crash player, you know, not the best player by any means, but he bought something. And Collingwood's form improved, I think, when those two players came back into the team. You do need your silk. You do need your ball users. You do need your top-end players, but you also need that balance of blue-collar, white-collar and silk, I think. And
so I know we disagree on one point, and that's I think that Freo should go really hard after Kelly. You're more of a stack up your early draft picks. So I just think they can get Kelly and they can keep an early draft pick if they get the Hill trade done and they get an early pick for him. So I still think they can go have that early pick in the draft. I reckon Kelly would be great for them.
If I'm Fremantle, I'd be saying to Tim Kelly, if you want to come to us, that's great. We'll do our best to get a deal done for you. But when I go to Geelong, I'm saying, no, we've got a top 10 draft pick, and that either gets this deal done or it doesn't. And the other thing I'm saying to Tim Kelly is we're not getting into a money bidding war with West Coast here. So basically, if this is all about the most money, then you're going to have to take your chances on West Coast being able to get the deal done.
Yeah, I threw up Sean Darcy's name last week, and I'm sure Freo wouldn't want to lose him, but I threw his name up as a possible link in all of that. Interesting delistings, Niehaus and Scott Jones. Scott Jones, interesting delisting, Duff. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, so I didn't think he was that bad against Port Adelaide in the one game he's played this year. It was the one game he's played this year. I think the other factor that would have influenced their decision is that just before he'd suffered the season-ending foot injury, Lloyd Meek started to play.
He was inheriting the earth, Duff.
Meek was inheriting the earth. He was best on ground, I think, the day that he went down. And his numbers were off the charts compared to what they had been previously at Peel. So they might be thinking that Meek is starting to come on stream. If they keep Darcy, they have Meek and Lobb.
And maybe get an English in.
So that's 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Well, I don't think they'll get English out of Western Bulldogs.
Sorry, Luke Jackson. Luke Jackson.
Yeah, maybe.
Just as a future player, because it'll take a while.
If they're going to try and get Luke Jackson, they're going to need 3 first-round draft picks. Because I suspect someone will make a bid for Liam Henry, and they'll have to match that bid. So that will be their NGA, Next Generation Academy pick, taken care of. I think.
So they've got 6. They could get 5 from St Kilda, potentially, for, say, a Hill.
Which will probably be 6.
So you got to, so they need to get another early draft pick somehow.
The other one, quarters, if I'm Fremantle, I would be having a sneaky look at Brad Crouch.
He was asked for a 5-year deal. There's a lot of talk about him. But I think we threw his name up. See, I thought Gold Coast should have gone for both the Crouches as a package, because I think they would be perfect for them. Yep. Perfect for them. So lots of speculation about him. I agree. If he's out, if he's available, you have a crack at him.
I don't reckon you want both Crouches, because neither of them are quick, and you've got to be careful that you don't tip your balance. I think Adelaide's main problem is their midfield is slow. If I was Adelaide, and Adelaide seems to be there's a lot of unrest at Adelaide and there might be upheaval.
A lot of unrest.
Jeez. I'd be trying to steer clear of the upheaval.
It's a mess stuff. It's a mess there.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Absolute mess. There's speculation now about questionnaires being distributed to players with a...
Hinting that the coach is gone. Do you want the coach sacked?
Yeah. It's a mess, that place. Really, from top to bottom, you get your external review. You have that place needs an overhaul from top to bottom.
Yeah, just I agree.
Bad decision after bad decision since their grand final appearance. Really strange.
Yeah, and you've been big on the camp. You think the camp did a lot of damage.
I just thought it was another poor example. I mean, I think a lot of it emanated from the camp. If you believe all the stories that happened there, I mean, it's unbelievable. Beggars believe some of the stuff that happened on that camp.
So the talk is that Eddie Betts will want to go back to Carlton.
So Silvani has said we don't want him, or is he just playing ducks and drakes, do you think?
Well, I suppose if I was Carlton, I'd want him at a price.
Yeah.
And it's a case of whether it's the right price. So Soss might be, you know, just stringing him along a bit.
We don't want him.
Or he might be thinking, you know, no, he's the wrong age. Well, he really is the wrong age for Carlton's demographic. Mm. Is Carlton winning the flag next year?
I've got them not winning, no. No, so then you're right. Yeah, I don't see that he's a... if I was Carlton, I wouldn't be going after him.
No.
That's my opinion, but...
So where...
They're into Jack Martin big time.
Yeah, well, Jack Martin's a different
kettle of fish. I think he's perfect profile for them.
Disappointed with the way Jack finished up at...
Yeah.
Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And I think there was fault on both sides there. I think that Jack played some pretty disappointing footy in the back half of the year at Gold Coast. Yeah. And I think he went back to the Kneeful and played well... And when they didn't pick him again, that was like closing the door on any chance they had of keeping Jack Martin. Now, I know they're strong at Gold Coast on we only want people that are there.
Yeah,
but that just had a bad look to it, I reckon.
Yeah, there's too many. They've just lost too many. And this is just another example of a player walking. I don't like it at all.
Where's Jack Martin's best position in the AFL quarters?
Oh, high half forward running through the mid.
Mm. It's a difficult position to play, isn't it? You can probably have a stretch as a high half forward where you're not getting a lot of the ball.
You can. But you can run him through the middle as well.
Yeah.
No, he's a pretty good player. Let's make no mistake, he is a really good player.
So the mail is Essendon, Bulldogs and Carlton are the three bidders. Going to be a lot of money offered wherever he ends up. If you're Fremantle, would you dip your toe in the ring? Try and get him?
Absolutely. I think they will. Surely. They've got to ask the question.
Yeah, don't know.
Got to ask the question. Good appointment at St Kilda for Jared Ruffett.
Yeah.
He'll add to that list. It obviously has a friendship with Brett Ratten, who I think, reading the tea leaves now, gets that job. Surely. I think so.
Yes. And what sets Tim Kelly apart from other targets? He's the only one St Kilda hasn't chucked $1 million at.
Yeah, fair enough.
Seriously, talk about casting the net far and
they
wide.
Have. But Ruffett's a good appointment now. He's huge on list management. It's his passion. So that's what he will morph into eventually, I think, Ruff. But he'll have a coaching match day role as well. So really good appointment, 3-year deal. He'll be good for that footy club, I reckon.
Okay. What do you make of the final scheduling? So West Coast on Thursday night, that's West Coast and Essendon. That's the same as in 2016 when the Doggies came here.
I love Thursday night finals. I love Thursday night footy.
What about the fact that the last game is the game in Brisbane? Would you have flipped...
On Saturday?
Yeah, would you have flipped... maybe the Brisbane qualifying final with the Melbourne qualifying final, play one of them on the Friday night and one of them on the Saturday night.
So you're saying play Brisbane Friday night and Geelong. What's your reasoning there?
Well, travel. Mm. Yeah, and let's say Richmond loses.
Travel, yeah.
Let's say Richmond loses and they have to go back to Melbourne. It's not a long flight compared to the Trans-Nullarbor flight.
An hour and a half. Two hours?
It's over 2 hours.
2 hours from Melbourne. Well, the poor dears. Well, they've had 10 games in a row at the G and they've got to travel on get on a plane for 2 hours.
Well,
my
point is that if one team has to travel and the other team doesn't, so the loser of the Collingwood-Geelong game will not have to travel. So why not play that game on the Saturday night? And then they just go from Saturday night into Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. I have no great issue with it. I think it's pretty good. I would have actually liked to have seen a... you can't really have a Sunday game, but... I like the spread. I really like it. That's why I love Thursday night footy.
Mm.
I think we should have... In the regular season, I think we should have Thursday through to Monday.
Monday night footy too?
Yeah.
I can hear the mums... sharpening their knives and coming for you.
Oh, good.
Right away.
Please do.
I don't know whether many little kiddies will be going to footy on a Monday night and then going to school on a Tuesday morning.
So a couple of awards. Did they get it right? So let's go through them. MVP, Cripps by the length of the straight, and then Tim Kelly, Lachie Neale, Brody Grundy and Nat Fyfe in that order. I think they got it right. The only thing I'm questioning is why Dangerfield wasn't in Geelong's best three players. I mean, that's just nonsense.
So obviously clubs do footage in the lead into games.
Yeah.
If I was Patrick Dangerfield, I'd be tempted to show them about 15 games leading to this game and say, guys.
Hi, I'm here.
Yeah. This is why we won this one.
Me.
36 disposals and two goals and 23 contested possessions.
So I think they had Hawkins and Blissavs or Stewart ahead of him, but Dangerfield's in that. He's in the best three. I'd have him actually ahead of Kelly. So
The coaches did.
Yeah.
So in the AFL Coaches Association's Champion Player Award, he finishes second to Bontempelli.
So Bontempelli, Dangerfield, Fyfe, Kelly, and Cripps in that order.
You think the coaches would have half a clue?
Yeah. That's about right. The Bont had a really good year, and of course the rising star. Pretty well as we were picking at Duff. I think Sam Walsh from Rosie and Stack. I think that was a pretty good 3-2-1.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You could have shuffled Stack and Rosie for the different roles they're playing, but I mean, I think Sam Walsh clearly was the best kid out there.
Yeah, I reckon Stack's best games were probably better than Rosie's best games, and he may have had more good games than Rosie, but Rosie was more even.
Yeah, he did.
Across the year,
yeah,
I reckon. Than
beautifully balanced footballer, Rosie.
Oh, mate. Of all those players in that draft, if you said redo that draft now.
You'd have him one?
He'd be, no, he'd be two.
Walsh didn't do much wrong.
He'd be two after
Walsh.
What's
he set a record for possessions for a first-year player, I think?
Correct.
Wow. Oh, that's
25 disposals a game.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He probably doesn't get tagged. So that's going to be the next challenge. Like when Carlton becomes a serious threat to other teams and clubs say, well, what can we take away from them? They might put the tag on Sam Walsh and say, let's take him from 28 disposals down to 14.
That's going to be interesting
to see how that affects
them. Really interesting to see what the Giants do with De Boer this week for that very reason. Do they just say, look, use the Ross Lyon philosophy, let's tag the bloke we can get, not the bloke we can't. So do they go to a Hunter? Does he go to a Hunter or someone like that?
I'd go to Jack McRae.
Is he taggable?
Yeah,
I reckon. Do you go to a bloke who doesn't get tagged for the shock value as much as anything?
Well, does Jack McRae get tagged? I don't reckon he does.
Yeah, they tend to go to the Bont, but I'm not sure if they can really, if he's that taggable, the Bont. But well, anyway, he touched up De Boer last time, didn't he?
Yeah, De Boer's first game back from a fair stretch out. So
Maybe you give him another crack.
Interesting question, I think, that one. All right, so who's your Brownlow medal favourite based on the awards?
I think Dangerfield wins it. I think it's not based on the awards. Well, it is the coach's award, but I think for me, if I had to put my house on it, I'd have Dangerfield ahead, particularly the way he finished. But the final three or four rounds are amazing. You had Lachie Neale, everyone polled.
Mm.
So, and will Kelly take votes off Dangerfield? I don't reckon. I reckon Kelly get a lot of twos.
Yeah, okay.
He had a good year, Dangerfield, and he stands out, and he polls and kicks goals.
Yeah.
All those things. That's tick, 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 Brownlow.
What about our pet project, Brody?
I'd love to see him win the Brownlow. Love to.
Where does he finish,
the history says he doesn't. Oh, he finishes top five.
Yeah.
History says he doesn't win it.
Yep.
It's a real shame.
Now, taking out whether you like the bye or you don't like the bye, do you like the run of awards nights?
No, I'd rather have it in the first week of a 2-week rest for the grand final.
So knock them all over then.
Yeah, I would. I would have the Brownlow medal at a time where I always think it's a bit of a shame when you have a club like West Coast over here and the player not there. I'd like the player to be there. So that's why I'd like to do that. I've got no issue with it. Again, Duff, I'm not losing any sleep over it, but it seemed to be a real rush of them last week. Just almost as if, let's get this through. Let's get through this one. Let's get through this one. I'd like to see a more even spread of them.
Yeah, okay. I don't mind it. What about if you went the whole hog and had the Brownlow in that bye week?
the first week.
Yeah,
that'd be fine. I've no problem with that.
So everyone
can
go.
Yeah. I'd like to have it when anyone can go, whether that's the first week or 2 weeks before the GF.
Yeah,
whichever way it works. I think they need to do that. Why do we have it the Monday of Grand Final week? Because it's like the first part of that Grand Final week build up, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think the Grand Final week's big enough now as it is, Duff.
Well,
fair bit going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're hankering to talk to just about every player that's going to play in the Grand Final. And it's almost like, I take your point on the 2 week build up to the Grady, because it's almost like that week in the build up to the Grady isn't long enough to do all the things you'd like to do from just from a media perspective.
Exactly.
I think, you know, like, you almost want to do, you don't just want to talk to the players. You want to get their backstories, don't you? You know, where they come from? What was their upbringing like? You know, like, who were the key people in their football development, those kind of things.
They do that with the Super Bowl really well. The first week, because it's a 2 week build up, and the first week you learn all about the players. It's great. It's a terrific build up. And it heightens the expectation too leading up to the day.
Yeah.
Do you know what my favourite part of the Grand Final week is?
What's that?
It always sends shivers up my spine, is the 10-second countdown to the first bounce. And when you're there, it's just captivating when it's your team playing. I think it's great innovation.
Let's move along to Fremantle's coach selection process. We should also mention a couple of minor list management things for Fremantle. You mentioned Scott Jones and Ryan Niehaus delisted. They re-signed Toby Watson, the lanky defender, and they re-signed Dylan O'Reilly, who was their mid-season
son of
rookie list pick, son of Stephen O'Reilly. I wonder whether that becomes significant. Let's say they did get interested in Brad Crouch. Dylan O'Reilly is probably going to develop into a tall defender, maybe a tall forward, maybe a Brennan Cox type. Could Fremantle maybe send Brennan Cox back to Adelaide to try and get a trade on Brad Crouch done?
Absolutely. Anything's on the table and should be, just about. We'll take Fife out of it.
The coach selects, and Sonny
Walters. And Sonny Walters. You'll take Fife and Sonny Walters out of it. Sorry, guys, the rest of you. You're in there somewhere.
Well, clearly their third best might be on the table, because Brad Hill has been their third best all year.
That's right.
Justin Longmuir, Peter Sumich appear to be the two clear front runners for the Dockers selection.
Yes, Sumich put his hand up now. There was some question whether he would, but he's now said, "Yep, I'm in the process."
So. That was the most hilarious exercise in posturing I've ever seen. This is the one senior coaching position Peter Sumich has a chance at getting. If he wasn't going to put his hand up for this one, he might as well announce publicly, "I will never be an AFL senior coach." Seriously.
And you threw another hat in the ring at the weekend. Todd Curley?
Well, I know, mainly for a senior assistant's position. Yep. What I love about Todd Curley is that Todd Curley has coached in an environment where South Fremantle mainly have local players. They don't go outside of their own very much at all. I think Ben Saunders came to them from Claremont, and there might have been one or two others. I think Shane Hockey, who was on their list over the last two or three years, he might have been a guy that lobbed up from Victoria. But basically, South catch and kill their own. They develop their own. Their team is very much a homegrown team. In the past two seasons, they've lost Tim Kelly. They've lost Matt Parker. They've lost Marley and Pickett.
Mm. Didn't he take a nice hang at the weekend?
That was a hell of a mark.
VFL, I tell you what, he's not going to play this week, but if someone gets injured, he's done all he can to put his hand up and say, pick me.
You know what? I reckon
what a great mark.
It would only take one midfield injury.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I reckon.
So he's done all he can.
He's there. He's one out and one back now, Marley and Pickett. But getting back to Todd Curley, you know, mainly locally produced team, significant loss of players over the last two seasons, and yet their lowest possible finish this year is third.
Mm.
And I think if you look at their possible finishes, they've always been up against it against Subiaco, and, you know, the degree to which Subiaco are able to resource their team and basically poach players developed by other waffle clubs.
Second's almost been the flag, hasn't it?
It's a bugbear for me. Second. And they've also, well, Peel as well.
Yeah.
When Peel got really dinkum about winning waffle flags and loaded up on AFL talent. So Todd Curley, to me, has coached South Fremantle as well as South Fremantle can be coached. So if I'm Fremantle and looking at a guy who may add something to the culture, who's been there before, understands the club, interestingly, left almost as soon as Ross Lyon came through the door and was followed by a series of other highly credentialed assistant coaches out the door, I would be looking long and hard at Todd Curley for a role at Fremantle.
Mm. Well, I hope they're listening. Your boys, of course, South Fremantle. I picked your boys at the weekend.
Yeah, I picked them. I got a bit worried late in the game.
Yeah.
There was a bit of...
There was, yes.
There was a bit of downhill skiing about them late in that game against the Tigers.
Tigers, did you get any chance next week?
Yeah, a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, a puncher's chance. I would almost have West Coast favourite against Claremont because I think Jake Waterman will play. I think Liam Duggan plays. No. And they'll all be keen to impress.
Jake Waterman's qualified?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's open slather now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I thought they were going to be respectful to the competition.
They'll be making it up as they go along.
Okay.
But,
yeah. Fine. I just thought they were
going to
be...
when the competition allowed Drew Petrie to play, like Drew Petrie's... You won't meet a better bloke in footy than Drew Petrie.
But what is he adding to that team?
Well, also, the whole pitch to the competition was they were going to take young players denied opportunity elsewhere and, you know, put them into their environment and see if they could find players that the system hadn't found. And then they go and play a 300-gamer in the second half of the year for no good reason either. There's plenty of – they said they lacked height. There's plenty of height.
Having said that, Duff, I wasn't – and this is going to sound anti-West Perth. It's not. There are a lot of wonderful people who are involved at that club.
Mm.
But they took however many cents in the dollar to their creditors.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really bad look for footy.
Tell me that's not the best midfield in the comp.
West Perth?
Mm.
It's a good midfield.
So I'm just saying that how's that midfield running around when they got no money?
Yeah, no, it's a good midfield.
So I just wasn't disappointed to see them out.
So you're saying they loaded up?
Well, I'm saying that they...
Are you questioning their relevance to the salary cap?
I'm questioning that. I just don't think... I think karma got them.
Do you?
There you go. Yeah, I do. I just feel... I really felt for Perth in the final round of the season. They were in the five the entire season, apart from the last, and had a shot for goal in the dying seconds and just didn't quite get there. I just felt for them.
Perth played a Peel team that had six AFL-listed players and couldn't beat them.
Yeah.
Six AFL listed players and three of them were kids.
Yeah. But I know. They've only got, they've certainly had their opportunities during the season. I just felt for them. I thought it would have been a good story for the Waffle.
And I do take your point about the couple of cents in the dollar that West Perth paid their creditors. I would make this point, and this is a philosophical discussion I reckon the WA football system is going to have at some stage. I think the West Australian football system is close to the wealthiest system in the AFL. I think the problem is all the money's in one place. And my question to the West Australian football system...
So you're saying it's Subiaco?
No, I'm saying in West Coast bank account.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a really bad look for footy when West Perth can't pay its creditors and West Coast has tens of millions of dollars.
It is not a good look for footy.
It's not a good...
That's for sure.
And what's more, like I interviewed new commission chairman Wayne Martin last week and Cheryl Edwards, his deputy, and they're already talking about lobbying government and making sure they understand the important role that footy plays. That's great, but if I'm any state government, I'm saying you have plenty of money, it's all in one place, you own this club, you get your own house in order and you make the most of the money you should have access to, and then once you've done that, you come back and see us then. And we'll talk about giving you money for facilities. But until then, we're not prepared to allow this to go on any further. West Coast was the first AFL team in Western Australia. They had 60 to 70% of the population signed up and rusted on by the time Fremantle entered the competition. They had two flags in the bank. They are in a privileged position in Western Australia. That makes them a financial outlier in the AFL system. Mm. There is absolutely no point in West Coast having $40 million plus in the bank. Yep. And before they invested in their Lathlane Park facility, or Mineral Resources Park, as they call it, we'll pay them respect of honouring their naming rights deal, they had something like $60 million in the bank. And they still got $20 million of government money to build that facility. So... let's be real about this, everybody, including the West Australian Football Commission.
Let's hope it happens.
Yeah. I mean, I just think put a ceiling on their bank account and any money north of that gets distributed around. And they don't have to spend it on waffle clubs.
No, it can go,
it can go back into the community, for grassroots project to make sure that grassroots footy is well serviced. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But I do not see any point whatsoever in West Coast having $40, $50, $60 million in the bank.
Agree.
Rightio. We'll be back on Thursday in the lead up to the big game at Optus Stadium.
You're undecided. That's right. I was going to say, you give me your four, but you're undecided.
Well,
on
I'm decided on that one. I think West Coast will win that one.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Bombers are without hope, but I think West Coast will have enough to get that one done.
I agree.
We'll be back on Thursday. We'll be brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll run through the four games. Quarters has already made up his mind, hopefully, at some point between now and Thursday.
Raft of injuries at the Giants, and I'll have to change my stance, pal. I'll stick with them.
All right. We'll see you on Thursday.